Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apologies, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study of Psalm 119, we were talking about the afflictions that Joseph suffered in Egypt. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
We find that the writer asked God for understanding of His Word. We like to sing the old hymn, "Mold me and make me after Thy will." I can't help but to think of Joseph. Back there in the book of Genesis, his brothers were going to kill him. They lower him into a well. And then they take him back up out in order to sell him into slavery. They take his coat of many colors and tear it up and lie to Joseph's father and say a wild animal must have killed him. In Egypt, Joseph is a slave to a man by the name of Potiphar. Potiphar's wife makes advances towards Joseph and tries to seduce him. Joseph refuses her advances, and obviously she is just perturbed about this thing, because she's not used to dealing with rejection. She's used to young men responding to her advances, and so she's suffering rejection, she's upset, she's mad, and so she tells her husband, "This Jewish boy that you brought in here, this Hebrew, he tried to do this with me." Well, the Potiphar gets upset. And Joseph is in prison for 11 years. Now, Joseph, while he was with Potiphar, he was with him for 2 years, and Potiphar went from zero to great things because Joseph managed his household, and he got rich through Joseph. Well, after Joseph does that for him, and then he's put in prison unjustly, he's put in stocks in prison, and the 105th Psalm tells us that his feet are hurt as a result of that, and he will limp the rest of his life as a result of that. He'll have a physical ailment that will always show the thing that he suffered unjustly, just like Jesus Christ has now scars in his hands and in his feet and in his side that shows he suffered unjustly for us. Well, after a while, there's a baker and a butler, they have dreams that are in the prison. Joseph interprets their dreams. The dreams come true. Joseph told him, when you get back before Pharaoh, he says, you remember me before him. I'm in here unjustly. Well, he did remember him, but it was 2 years later before he remembered. And it was at a time of need, and it was at a time when the butler could score some good points, you know, with Pharaoh. So he was brought in, and then he's finally made second in the kingdom, and he has this great position. But now, for 13 years, this guy suffered, and suffered unimaginably so. And when you and I think of how he suffered, we wonder, what have I kept my faith? I mean, this guy never lost his faith, even in prison. They made him somewhat like a trustee, and he was going around encouraging people. And this guy just kept his faith in Christ, kept his faith in God, kept his faith in God's promises, God's word. And he knew it was God's will. And God was fashioning him through all of those things. And so, what happens with Joseph? Well, Joseph becomes a ruler. When he becomes a ruler, because he's been humbled so much, it doesn't blow up his pride. It doesn't build up him in a false way, He has a sweet and humble spirit because he's been through all of this, because he allowed the Lord to work in him even through all of that instead of getting bitter about all the bad things that had happened to him. He did not grow bitter. He grew better. Well, what was he doing? He was allowing the Word of God to mold him and to make him after God's will. And what you need to understand is that you need to have the Word of God in your heart. And we need to meditate on it, that He might mold us and make us after His will. Now, in John chapter 1, verse 3, we're told that all things were made by Him, that is, by Jesus Christ, and without Him was not anything made that was made. We think of the young man who's going to boot camp, and he'll learn to do all that his DI tells him to do. And he'll come out of boot camp, a young man prepared to fight the battle. That soldier will learn to have total submission to his superior officers. Well, we must have total submission to the will and the commands of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, knowing they're preparing us to win wars, not to be casualties of war. That young man in boot camp, he won't always like the things that happen in training. And boy, it'll seem bad, it'll seem hard, it'll seem to hurt. Oh, but my friend, it's to make him a good soldier. We know all things work together for good to those who love God, for those who are called according to His purpose. And yes, my friend, all things work together for good to mold us into the image of His dear Son. Now, in that boot camp time, nothing's held back that is profitable in the training of that soldier. You know, that's the way it was in verse 20 of Acts that we just read to you earlier. He said that I taught you and held nothing back that was profitable unto you. And so, in boot camp, they're given everything that they need. And that's what our churches need to be. The Word must be taught in the church. And nothing held back because we're afraid it might offend somebody. I don't really think that the DI is afraid that he might offend one of those recruits. And yet what he's doing for that recruit is making him the best soldier he can make that recruit be, so that when he goes to war, he goes to win, and he doesn't go there to give his life, he goes there to win. And so we need the Lord to fashion us according to His will. Although we know that the training for the Christian soldier is tough. But there is a difference in boot camp. The DI is not considered your friend. I mean, I've had young men, and especially when I was that age, come back from boot camp. And I can't recall that any of them ever said, boy, my DI was just wonderful. Boy, I just loved that man. I never heard that. And what a great, you know, he was one of the best friends I ever had. You just didn't hear that from the recruits that went through boot camp about their DI. But you know, we that are in the local church, those who are faithful and love the Word and teach us the Word of God, and point out what is right as well as what is wrong. Those people are our friends, and that's the second F. We had the Lord fashions us, and now we see the Lord is our friend. In verse 73, there is the individual time with God. But you need to understand, if you don't have the individual time with God, you simply will not grow. You won't be a good soldier without individual time with God. But when we get to verse 74, he says, they that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. Now we see they who reverence that day with their heart and life are glad when the captain of our faith sends one of his officers with orders and encouragement for the battle. And we walk with those who walk according to the fundamentals of the Word of God. And they're more than just fellow soldier. They're more than just fellow labor. They're our friends. They don't hold back the worst from us. And that's not what it's about. It is to show us that our Lord sends the Word to us to work together as a local church. He gives it that we might wage an effective and winning war for Him, regardless if we're Gideon with only 300 men and the other army has 135,000. See, friends in the war together under the command of our Lord Jesus Christ is a majority in any war, even if we only have 30 people and the enemy has 300. You see, the Lord's local church can stay on the same page as long as it stays in the Word of God. And so, we not only have a friend for our commander, the Lord in Jesus Christ, but He gives us fellow soldiers who are our friends. Why? Because they have a kindred heart with the Word of God. That's why ecumenicalism is so bad. That's why new evangelicalism is so bad. Because it compromises doctrine. It compromises the Word of God. It compromises the way of salvation. Sometimes they can preach a good sermon. And it's not what they preach that's bad. It's the things they won't preach that's so bad. They won't stand against sin. They won't stand against wrong. They won't stand against carnality. They'll say some good and even deep things. But they don't warn of the things they should. And that's not your friend that does that, my friend. They want you to like them. They're not trying to do what's best for you. And that's not a friend. But those that speak the truth in love, that do not hold back, that do not water it down, they are our friends. Now, when we know that as a Christian, God fashions it, and then He gives us friends, we'll next learn that we can win as a church. Because our Lord is faithful. And that's the third F, faithful.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying, "May God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus."